Hello and welcome to Podcast 5 from Africa. Hello, my name is Vinny White and I've been doing a series of podcasts. This is the fifth and they started in Kenya and have slowly crossed Africa until we've got where we are today. And we are on the other side of Africa. We are on the West Coast. Yeah, West Coast, looking out over the Atlantic. Here I am in Namibia. Namibia, a place called Cape Cross. And you may, in a moment, hear some rather peculiar noises, because Cape Cross is home to a lot of seals. Yeah, an awful lot of seals. Cape fur seals. They don't migrate, they just hang out here in Cape Cross by the thousand. And as I'm heading towards the sea now, I can see thousands, thousands and thousands of seals draped over rocks, feet in the air. Some of the young pups that were born in November are now suckling away on their mum's nipples. Sounds wrong when I say that, but it's, hey, stop, take your mind out of the gutter. It's life. And here they are in their majesty and glory. They look fantastic. There's a walkway that's built across the seafront, so people don't get to disturb them, but they do get to witness them. Sometimes a seal comes wandering up the walkway. They're very friendly. There's a few dead ones knocking about, because mortality for the young is always a bit tricky. Something like 25% of the seals don't make it past being a young pup, because it's a tough life in the seal world. If you go out to go fishing, you might lose your mum, you might get battered against some rocks, you might make it home and get involved in a stampede, or you might be eaten by a hyena. If you're thinking about coming back as a seal, I'd say think again. One of the other things that you might want to consider if you want to come back as a seal is the smell. I cannot describe to you quite how disgustingly pungent and overpowering the smell of seal poo is mixed with raw fish. I'm actually gagging. Oh God, I'm not even making that up. Hang on. It's like walking into a fish shop times 30. Maybe some raw sewage smeared across the walls. That's the best way I can describe it. A fish shop with 30 times the normal amount of fish, most of it gone off, and someone smeared poo over the walls. So that's nice. However, that said, it is actually beautiful, and the white waves of the Atlantic Ocean are crashing, and the seals are knocking around having a bit of fun in the sun. And here we are in Namibia, in the desert, actually. The desert just meets up with the sea. There's really nothing around us apart from seals and rocks. They have a pretty much 100% fish diet, so they don't need any greenery, and it's just as well, because there isn't any around here. Very much a sparse wasteland. Good interview one, but I'm not sure it's going to be great. There's one just round here. I'll pass him the microphone. You never know what he might have to say. You know, this could be his big shot. This could be the life-changing moment that he's been looking for to get out of Cape Cross and the seal population. He could be signed up by a LA producer, maybe for a seal film. I don't know, just the working title could be Seal the Deal. Just thinking about that. Let's pass the mic down to him, see what he says. Hello. So what do you think about the local environment here, and just how much fish do you eat a day? Well, luckily, thanks to this pamphlet that I've been given, I can tell you the actual answer is 8% of their body mass per day. That's an enormous amount of fish. When you look at the hundreds of thousands of seals that are around me, and then think about the fact that each of them are eating 8% of their body weight in fish, there must be a lot of fish out there, an awful lot of fish, which will explain why there's some quite keen anglers driving up and down this desert road here in Namibia with all their fishing rods on the front of their trucks. I wouldn't imagine they fish around here, because you're going to compete with some serious seals, but up and down the coast there are some great fishing spots. It's a really amazing part of the world, actually. It's desert meets ocean, and apparently the seals love it. One minute you're in a truck, having a chat, playing cards, drinking a beer, Next thing, you know, you're at a seal sanctuary on the Atlantic Ocean. God, I love Africa. Swakopmund in Namibia is one of the oddest places I've ever been in the world, actually. It's very rich and has these very large streets, huge grid system. It's very much a new city. It feels like either Australia or somewhere in North America. Very new, very shiny, very clean, KFCs and lots of chain restaurants everywhere. And then, of course, adrenaline sports, loads of them. Is that how the city makes its money?
I think definitely that's the way it makes its money.
That's the whole market push, is for all the different activities out in the dunes. And
whether you're jumping out of a plane, looking down on the dunes, or on motorised transport, going across the dunes, or standing on boards, going down the dunes.
Yeah. It's where the sand dunes meets the sea, and provides for quite a lot of sporting activities. We went sandboarding, didn't we, Fitz?
We did go sandboarding.
How do you think it went?
Well, I suppose it went pretty well. I mean, you lost half your shorts, so I mean, that, I don't know how it went for you, but I mean, I'd never snowboarded before, and on my third run, I actually tried hitting that jump. Success-wise, I suppose you'd probably give me a 2 out of 10, because rather than the board hitting the sand, it was my face. But I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah, success-wise, I suppose it was a 2. But effort-wise, I think it'd have to be a 9.5. You're in for it from the beginning. And for someone that's never boarded, you had some confidence. It's not really like snowboarding, if you ask me. I mean, there is, you are wearing a snowboard and snowboard boots, but there's some fundamental difference. First of all, you have to climb up a hill, which is a killer when it's 35 degrees. Let me tell you that. When you get to the top of the hill, you have to wax your board, because if you don't, you're not really going anywhere on the sand. Once you've waxed your board, had a swig of water, got yourself together, put your helmet on, you then strap yourself in and sandboard down the sand dune. Indeed, there is a jump halfway down, which I tried to use to jump and accidentally landed on. I think the best way to put it in a polite context would be that I landed on the ramp and used my genitalia as brakes, thereby not only hurting myself in my private parts, but also ripping my new shorts. Right down the back. How did I look?
It looked pretty good. I tried to do the jump just before you on my second run, and they were getting me all lined up to go straight down, and I started off and I couldn't really control the board and it started veering off right, so I had to scrap the jump. And by the time I got to the bottom and looked back up, Vinny was edge, you know, making his way towards the edge, and he went for it. And, you know, he's done a bit of snowboard, and I was reasonably confident that he was going to nail this. And he kind of took a little bit of a tumble to the left, slight speed wobble, I thought. You know, he was going to correct himself, and he basically cut his balls in half on the edge of the ramp.
So there you are. Africa's going really well. One of the Germans on the bus saw the horrific job that I did of stitching my pants up, felt sorry for me, undid the stitching and redid it in a way that can only be described as professional, not the shoddy attempt at stitching that I'd done beforehand. So I think they're as good as new now, eh?
Yeah, definitely better than the way you did them. It looked like some blind child with no fingers did it with a steak knife.
And that's being complimentary. Hello, Australian.
Hi, how are you?
Grand. What's your name and where do you come from?
I'm Lisa and I'm from Adelaide.
Are you a real-life Australian?
Yes, I'm a real-life, living, breathing Australian.
And who's the sexy young bearded man next to you?
This is Reese, my husband.
Hi!
What do you think of Swakopmund? Can you describe it? Very westernised, wasn't it?
Definitely very westernised. Love the activities that were there. All the sandboarding, skydiving, quad biking, things like that. We had a ball there.
It's known as the adrenaline capital of Namibia, for obvious reasons. It's got all of those sports and a lot more as well. Did you jump out of a plane or is this a sore point?
No, I did jump out of a plane. It took me a day or so to build up the courage.
I actually didn't know that. So you did do it the second day because you were supposed to do it on day one. You came back with a slightly sad face.
Yeah, well, I cancelled it before we even went on the first day, but then woke up the second day and thought, no, I'm going to do it. So went in, booked it. And then jumped out of a plane.
It's kind of a bit like sort of an African Las Vegas. It shouldn't really be a city, but it just seems to be there anyway. What's it like jumping over that amazing and bizarre city?
Well, to be honest, didn't really notice too much of the view. It was the first time I've jumped, so... No, it was definitely different seeing the sea, like you say, with the desert. A bit bizarre.
Is there anything else we missed? What else did we do in Swakopmund?
Go-karting.
Oh, yeah.
Went go-karting.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
No, we went go-karting and I might have beaten Vinny.
Might have done, but you'll never know because I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. Thanks a lot, Lisa and Reese, the Australians. Enjoy.
No worries, thanks a lot.
So we left Swakopmund and headed south across the desert in Namibia and down to our final destination, the last land of the 8 countries we've been through. 7 countries. The last place on our agenda, and it's here, South Africa. The sun's shining, it's 30 degrees, and we've been in South Africa for a few days. We went to a place called Stellenbosch after we made our way through the unforgiving deserts of southern Namibia and northern South Africa. And Stellenbosch was a very welcome surprise. I'm joined by a German, Regina. Hello, Regina.
Hello, Vinny. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's been a pleasure and a delight being on a bus with you throughout this. Here we are in South Africa. We went to Stellenbosch. Thoughts on Stellenbosch?
Well, Stellenbosch was a very westernised university city with a lot of young students. It didn't feel very African to me, I must say. So to begin with, I didn't quite know what to make of it. But after 2 days, I quite liked it.
It's very affluent. Last night, to try and submerge ourselves in the culture and understand the place, we went to a rugby game. I personally didn't look at the pitch much. I was looking more at the atmosphere and the madness around us. And good-looking people. It's a very good-looking city, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I'm a bit like yourself because we don't have rugby in Germany, so it was my second rugby game ever, and I didn't know anything about it, but luckily we had a Tiff sitting next to me, so she tried to explain the game to me. But as I said, I was a bit like yourself. I was looking around, watching the cheerleaders. We don't have cheerleaders in Germany either, I must say.
How do you call that a civilization, Germany? If you haven't got cheerleaders, how do you exist?
I don't know. You might not call it an existence then.
They were, I mean, I was just, you know, looking from a journalistic point of view. I couldn't help but notice, journalistic point of view, that they were very attractive.
Yeah, looking from a female point of view, they might have been attractive, but they were out of sync.
Oh, they were terrible dancers. Stellenbosch. A very peculiar town in the fact that everyone was young. Now, you and I, well, I wouldn't say we're old, but we're older. Did you feel old there?
Very old, but to tell you the truth, I've been feeling very old ever since I joined this group.
There's an annoying amount of young people on the bus. Coming home at 9 in the morning the other day. They came home at 9, and there's us.
Like,
yeah, out for breakfast, looking at them going, look at those hoodlums. Stellenbosch, I think there's 2 universities there, and I don't know how many thousands or hundred thousands of students. It's extremely good looking with the Dutch genes. Now, of course, many hundred years ago when these lands were settled, or should we say taken over from the indigenous population, the Dutch came in, and Afrikaans is very much like the Dutch language. They're almost interchangeable. So what we've got here is a lot of Dutch people. Now, Holland is the tallest country in the world, which means that everyone here is very tall, very blonde, and very beautiful. And I must admit, I did feel a bit inadequate. Now, you're gorgeous, so you probably didn't have that problem. Got out of that one. But what were your thoughts? such a shit long, loaded question. I've got to edit it now. Right, let's start that again.
Actually, the guys playing rugby, they weren't all that beautiful. I was surprised. Some of them were really fat, I would say. So some of them didn't look very sporty to me. I mean, I'm not an expert by no means, but I was surprised. I thought the people watching looked much sportier than some of the guys actually on the field there. Do you know what struck me yesterday? There were hardly any black people around, neither in the teams nor in the audience.
Yes, since the fall of apartheid in South Africa in the 90s, South Africa has changed, but judging solely on the ratio of blacks and whites in Stellenbosch, it's got a long way to go. After all, only 10% of the population of South Africa, slightly less than 10% of the population, is white. Whereas in the university, it must have been at least 90% of the students were white.
So this black touch was missing at the rugby game yesterday, but it was also missing in Stellenbosch in general.
And now we're on a bus again, and we're heading into Cape Town. And I've got a view of Table Mountain in the background, which is covered in cloud, which I believe they call the tablecloth. And we're going to be here for a few days. Well, you and the rest of the trip are all dividing. Is it our last night tonight?
Yes, Vinny, I hate to say this might be our last night sharing the same dorm together. And it has been a great pleasure for me. As I said to the girls last night, this might be our last chance to share a room with three boys, let's say.
Absolutely. Boys mentally, certainly.
So I said it's now or never, but apparently it's going to be never.
Well, have we been perfect gentlemen throughout?
Yes, you have. You've been perfect in every way. And sharing a room with you has been the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Well, you've been wonderful to share a dorm with as well, ladies. Thank you, Regina.
Thanks. Nice talking to you, Vinny.
Well, I've left the bus behind. The bus indeed has gone back up now to reload full of passengers and do another run, but without me. Yes, indeed, I'm on my own. Some of the people that are on the bus are still here in Cape Town, but a lot of them have gone. And I continue on through South Africa on my own. Since I haven't got a bus, I had to have some transport. My wheels are a scooter. Oh yeah, I rock. And I'm here on the beach at the southernmost point of South Africa, which is the southernmost point of Africa. Here I am looking at two oceans merge, the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean. And it's extraordinarily beautiful. 26 degrees, ice cream in one hand, microphone in the other. Can get a bit confusing. I just licked the microphone. And things are going well. Cape Town has been beautiful so far. Very impressed with the place. It's got quite a good vibe downtown on Long Street, where I'm staying. It's not the cleanest of cities, I don't think, but it's certainly a vibrant one with loads of nightlife and music all over the show. And I went up the other day to Table Mountain, the iconic Table Mountain that looks down on this vast bay of a city. And it was pretty good, actually. It took 3 hours to get up there and about 5 minutes to get down on a Swiss cable car because, frankly, I couldn't be bothered to walk down again. But yeah, after a three-hour hike, looking at the sunset over this amazing place, felt pretty good indeed. Is that an ostrich? Oh, I'm just looking at an ostrich as well. It's nothing like an ostrich to put you off your point. What was I going to say? It's just looking over a tree at me. I am trying to do a podcast. Trying to be professional. Can you take your little head and your big body away, please? Right, where was I? Yeah, there's so many weird animals. That's what I was going to say. There's some really weird animals that you don't expect. On the drive down here, big warning sign. Warning, baboons. That was weird. And then I was knocking about in a little place called Simonstown, a small seaside dwelling. I saw a penguin in a drainage tunnel. Just by the side of the road, there was just a small penguin hanging out in a drainage tunnel. It was like Gaddafi's last moments, only it wasn't very sad and didn't involve Gaddafi. But there was definitely a penguin there. Really weird to see penguins here. I didn't actually know there were penguins in Africa. Apparently there's loads. There's plenty up the west coast as well. Obviously not quite the emperor penguins that you'd expect from the icy wastelands of the Antarctic. But there are penguins nonetheless. Very cute little things they were too. And so there's always surprises here in Africa. Join me from Soweto, Johannesburg. Soweto used to be outside Johannesburg, and it was a township built for black people by the white people, essentially to get them out of the centre of the town and give them their own dwellings. Forced against their will, even though they were probably about 85-90% of the population, they cooperated and Soweto was born. Today it's actually quite a middle class neighbourhood. There's some very run down parts of it as it's still growing on a daily basis, but in central Soweto it's not too bad. We just went to the Hector Pearson Museum. Hector Pearson was someone that was at school here during 1976. In those days it was pre-apartheid, but there was a lot of tension building, and when the white government enforced Afrikaans, the Dutch language, to be spoken by the Bantu peoples, there was an uprising, and Hector Pearson was one of those involved in the conflict. And Hector Pearson was shot, one of many that was shot that day, opened fire on by the government forces, the police and the government forces. Now, usually an uprising, although it's always a very bitter thing, promotes change, and usually it promotes positive change, but in this case it absolutely didn't. That was the beginning of apartheid. Apartheid is an Afrikaans word for being apart. And the solution, well, what they thought was the solution at the time, was to make sure that black people and white people were segregated. So in the mid-70s, that's what happened. Segregation began. White people sat on white benches, used white toilets, went to white schools. Black people lived in these townships. The ANC, fronted by Nelson Mandela, the Black People's Party, one of the Black People's Parties, was declared as a terrorist organisation. And Nelson Mandela, as we all know, was locked up. And such began a very difficult time here in South Africa. And I'm on my way to Nelson Mandela's house now. Nelson Mandela used to live here before he was put into prison on an island near Cape Town, and he's very much been hailed a hero ever since his release. A lot's changed since his release. Of course, in 1994, apartheid had been abolished and a black government came into existence. It would be great to say to you that since then everything in South Africa has got better. Since 1994, the black government has changed hands a number of times. Mandela himself fronted it when he was released, and things were looking very positive for South Africa. But in recent years, Jacob Zuma, who's still in power for the next couple of years, has been doing some rather questionable things with large amounts of money. Yes, Jacob Zuma, who went on trial for rape in 2005, he stated in court that he took a shower afterwards to cut the risk of contracting HIV. This statement, of course, was condemned highly by the judge and health experts. He has several wives, one of which he paid 10 cows for, and he has about 20 children, including one love child. And this is the president of South Africa. So you wonder why sometimes people are disillusioned. The 9-foot-high electric fence around this house next to me tells me that crime happens here quite a lot. And the house I'm staying at in the suburbs, so it has so much security, it actually has guard dog ostriches. So I guess you'd call them guard ostriches. It's a funny old country. What's your name?
My name is Lebo.
And here we are outside Nelson Mandela's house, and you've just done some very funky dancing. Where did you learn your dance moves?
Soweto, White City, Jabavu.
Do you live here in Soweto?
Yes, I live in Soweto.
Can you tell me about what it's like to live here? Because Soweto's changed a lot since it was first developed. And it looks quite rich in some areas now. What's it like living in Soweto?
It's fun living in Soweto because it's a free country, and you can do whatever you want to do at any time you want to do it. They used to be at the early 80s. There was apartheid all over this place. We didn't do something to satisfy your needs because of someone. Now you can do everything.
You must have been, because you're quite a young man, you must have been quite young. Do you remember apartheid?
Yes, I remember a little bit because at early 94, it's a apartheid, you see. Yeah, it's finished on 1994. Yes.
Well, I'm glad that you live in a world where you can do what you want to do, and you do it very well. You're one of the funkiest dancers I've ever seen. You're better than those idiots on American Idol. And so it was, the Africa podcasts and the Africa trip comes to an end. It's been really quite something quite special, a trip of the lifetime, really. The odd situation of being stuck with a group of people on a truck for days and days and months on end is, it could have been unbearable if the people were unbearable, but most of them were really great, actually. And if you're thinking about doing a similar trip, remember, there's no way of knowing that your group will be a good bunch or a bad bunch, but it's well worth taking the gamble. There's lots that happened that I didn't report in these podcasts, mostly involving toilets. But as you can see, Africa is a great place. We had no thefts, we had no security problems and no trouble. People were so hospitable beyond belief, far more hospitable, in fact, than much of the first world. Thank you for listening to these five special African podcasts. The music has been brought to you by Olive Muskutsi, Mr. Kanda Bongo Man, Afrokelt Sound System and Left Field. All recording, mixing and messing about was done by me, Vinnie White, often on a moving truck on a dirt track, so it hasn't been award-winning, but it's been great fun to put together. The podcasts have been made for me and anyone that's bored enough to listen to them and will be available at vinniewhite.co.uk until further notice. They've been dedicated to my friend Greg Hubert. Greg would be doing a trip similar to this if it wasn't for the fact that illness has got in his way. I've been speaking to him throughout this trip, and one of the things that I've learned from the things that I've seen and the things that he said is that if you're thinking about going to Africa or anywhere else in this amazing world, do it. Just book it and don't worry about all the other stuff, because you only regret the things in life you don't do. So do it, because life is fragile and you never know what's going to happen. And with that in mind, I dedicate these podcasts to Greg Hubert. As for me, I will be returning to Canada in a few days' time. I'm just going to pop back to England and do some laundry, and then I will be returning on good old Air Canada to Ottawa International Airport. After that, we'll see. Bye-bye, Africa. You were spectacular.
More podcasts, a link to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and just general information on Vinny can be found at www.vinnywhite.co.uk, spelled VinnyWhite.co.uk. Forty-cast, I'm forking. Need my young forty-cast.